Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I am Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And this is a really exciting week.
A special episode, if you will.
Yes.
A very special
episode.
They're
all special, but this one is especially...
Extra special.
Especially special.
Super
special.
So
this week we announced formally that the Visual Studio 11 beta is coming on February 29th. So this may have been one of the worst kept secrets out there, since the Windows 8 beta we had announced a while ago is coming on February 29th, and I think a lot of people just assumed Visual Studio was coming with it. But this was the official disclosure that it is dropping next week. And with that, there's a ton of features and a few new announcements that we can talk about as well.
Absolutely. So since this episode is kind of special, we're going to be giving you just the high level. There's a lot of stuff with the beta that I think people are going to want to play with, but really this is kind of like the high level. And of course that all starts with Jason's blog post.
Right, and Jason's blog post includes a lot of links to a lot of the people that are within his team. Jason runs the Visual Studio engineering team. A lot of the people on his team have gone much deeper on some of these capabilities, and so take a start from there and then dive in. So the first one, of course, is that a lot of people, you know, may be familiar with our Go Live licensing that we've done in previous releases of Visual Studio betas, and this release is no different. So this is a Go Live release, and what that means is you can start using Visual Studio for developing real projects. You can use Team Foundation Server 11 to house
and
your day-to-day projects.
.NET
Framework 4.5. The other thing that's unique about this release as compared to previous Go Live releases is that previously, if you were going to build a .NET Framework application based on beta bits, you could only house that internally. Here, we're actually enabling the ISV scenario as well, where if you want to redistribute your applications based on .NET Framework 4.5 beta, you can do that. There's some requirements for how you alert your users so that they know that they're getting a beta runtime and things like that. But you can certainly enable that scenario, which is really exciting. And there'll be more information coming soon about how you request support. And the good news is that there's an a build-to-build upgrade story so that you can install the beta now, and then when the release candidate and RTM bits come out later, you'll be able to upgrade to each one in place without having to do an uninstall, reinstall.
Mm-hmm. So, which is very cool.
Yeah, it's the first time we've had that.
It's us kind of designing around making Go Live easier.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So the other big news, Brian, Harry, TFS Express. So Express lives on.
Yeah, Express now gets a TFS family member. So this is a free version of Team Foundation Server.
Right.
As you would expect, it does have some limitations. So let's go through those. The first is that it's limited to five what we call named users. So those are five users that can use TFS Express. If you need to add a sixth user, then that sixth user needs to buy a client access license. So you need basically one cal for a team of six people. It gives you source control, it gives you work item tracking, it gives you build, it does not give you reporting. In fact, it's built on top of SQL Server Express, which doesn't have reporting services built in. So there's no reporting capabilities in there.
You do get Agile Task Board, though.
You get the Task Board. You don't get the planning for the backlog and the sprint breakdown, but you do get Task Board. So if you wanted to throw everything up, my favorite scenario is you throw everything up on a team monitor and you kind of see all your modern day implementation of Post-it notes on a whiteboard, and you can drag and drop those as you go and assign them to team members. And so it's good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think this is cool, and there is no limitation for, say, using this for production, right? It's not like
Correct.
This is for dev and test or
well,
any other...
Well, I mean, it is dev and test by virtue of the fact that it's TFS, right? But yes, you can use this as your real TFS server, and I know you at home use TFS so that you and Angie can assign work to each other.
But this is a classic example where a lot of people are like, hey, I'm a one- or two-person shop. Like, just the amount of things that I have to go through in terms of either setting up
right.
the product and just listening to customers.
And don't forget about the hosted Team Foundation service that's available on Azure. So you can always go to www.tfspreview.com, and if you don't have a code, you can click on the little box that says waiting list, and we usually get to you in a few days, and you can get a free account there.
Okay.
And so that's in preview mode now, and eventually we're going to start charging for it, but for now you can use the TFS preview for free.
So what we want to do is actually go through some screenshots
right.
on cool stuff that's going on in Visual Studio. So
yeah.
So let's take a look here, and I see I'm actually providing feedback on a website. So the idea is somebody can go through, it's a tester, if you will, and they see the app and all the detail within there?
Actually, that's not a tester. It's very similar to the tools that we use for testers, but the idea is that oftentimes we have people that need to look at our daily builds that we're building and say whether or not it meets their requirements. So we usually refer to them as stakeholders. Stakeholder could be an eventual end user of
so
the product.
So it's somebody giving feedback on the
feedback.
Product.
That's right. And so it's not testing per se, although sometimes you could consider this acceptance testing. And so what they do is they open up this application while they're using the website or the Windows app or whatever they're testing there. And then we can, in the background, capture rich screencasts or audio annotations. You can leave your notes. So yeah, I like to say it's kind of the next best thing to being in the room watching over the shoulder of someone as they're using their application. A lot of the time we're geography shifted, we're time shifted. We don't have that as an option. Now, as part of the new tooling that we have coming in Visual Studio 11, you'll be able to request feedback. You say, let me know if the UI is ready, or tell me whether or not this workflow is what you had in mind. And then you can course correct and get all that information right into TFS to make sure you're
now, can you do this for like live video so somebody can be like watching this week on Channel 9 and be like, needs more cowbell.
Hair? Needs more hair?
Cowbell!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you could. I'm sure you could. And the other cool thing I like about this, Dan, is that it gives you that audit trail later on so that when someone says, hey, I hate this feature, you say, well, you loved it 6 months ago. It's reality. It happens all the time.
That's a classic one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but as a manager, the goal is to change your mind and keep people on their toes.
Exactly. So this other one is along those same lines, but this is actually focused on doing that upfront definition of the requirement. Before you've done anything around writing a line of code, let's make sure that we can really have that back and forth. And so what you can see is this is the PowerPoint storyboarding tool that allows you to quickly get in and mock up user interfaces, and you can use, turns out PowerPoint already has a lot of the same capabilities we need for this activity, which is things like custom animations and layouts.
Or doing just the visual alignment of things, adding text to text boxes. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, adding random shapes, too. Like, you may want just a placeholder shape frame, if you will.
We have a shape library that ships with all of the shapes and templates you would expect for Windows
8. Yeah, actually, let's share that real quick so people look at it. In the right corner there, you can see a lot of the classic controls. So our good friends, data grid, drop down, all that good stuff.
Exactly. So we'll be growing that list over time, and we have a community portal that people can use to create their own shapes. So I fully expect us to see all the iOS and Android and Commodore 64 templates and shapes.
Pete Brown, action item.
Get started on that. So what's next here?
Some of the UI things. And, you know, UI changes are always the most controversial, I think. And what you see here are four screenshots. So the top screenshots are Visual Studio, and there's two different themes that you can use, the light theme and the dark theme. I personally actually like the dark theme because you see the contrast. And then the bottom screen, that's TFS Express, and then the bottom right is being Expression Blend. So you can kind of see the before and after. And there is a blog post on here because of this. Mm-hmm. Again, people are always looking for feedback. Visual Studio blog, I think there's maybe over 100 comments already in terms of the feedback. So
right.
So give your feedback, and you can see some of the design decisions for why they went with their experience from the
right.
UI.
And I have to be honest, as a developer myself opening up Visual Studio 11 beta for the first time, it is a bit of a, oh my gosh, this is not what I'm used to. But after you realize the types of changes they made and the reason behind them and really trying to focus your eyes as a developer on the code and kind of take some of those other tool windows out to the periphery so that you're not distracted by them, it really, I think it's a good change. Of course, it's going to take some getting used to, just like the Office ribbon did for a lot of the people. But one difference between the changes here and what you saw with the Office ribbon is that, you know, if I want to start debugging, I'm still pressing F5. If I want to go change the compilation options, I'm still going Tools Options. All those menus are still in place. They're still mm-hmm. the same. This is just a new skin and really meant to be a little bit more of a friendly UI just as you're using it day to day.
Sure. So another feature. Now, here we're looking at a screenshot of Eclipse, right?
So yeah, that's right.
Continuous integration, baby.
Yeah, that's
Maven,
right.
Maven, Ant.
So a few years ago, we acquired a company called Team Prize. Our friend Martin Woodward, who's on the show occasionally, friend of the show, came from that acquisition. And Team Prize, for many years, has made a plug-in to Eclipse to allow Java developers to connect with Team Foundation Server and collaborate with the rest of the team, or collaborate amongst themselves, of course. Mm-hmm. And so this is just showing the new look and feel of Team Explorer Everywhere in Visual in the 11 timeframe. Team Explorer Everywhere 11, I guess, is what it would be versioned. And just pointing out that we have built-in support for doing Maven and Ant builds right within Team Build. So Java developers, we welcome you. We love you. Come, you know, feel right at home with TFS.
Cool. This is so what we're looking at is a screenshot of a code review, and probably the most interesting thing is if you look on the right is the code review tab. But we're actually looking at some of the differences in highlighting in terms of the diffs. So you see, you know, the green additive. You wanna, you know, wanna talk about this a little?
Yeah, this is a 2-for-1 screenshot. So obviously the diffing is the first thing that you see here. I think this is the first time we've updated the built-in diff and compare tool in Visual Studio in like 20 years.
Yeah, so, baby.
Think about what you were doing 20 years ago. Someone was writing the original diff tool. So this is really nice. I can do side by side as I scroll these bars. It actually scrolls together, left, right, up, down. And then code review is now built into Visual Studio 11 with Team Foundation Server 11. So I can say, hey, Dan, can you take a look at these features? I can pass that over to you. That shows up in a new part of Team Explorer called My Work. So you're not getting, you know, if you don't want to, you're not getting an email. I'm not coming to bug you. Instead, this is just part of your regular workflow where you say, hey, Brian's asking me to review his code. You can take a look at this. You can leave per file or per line comments or just overall comments. So I'm really excited about this. I think it's going to be exactly what people are asking for.
Very cool. And you can see some of the things for like the different colorization from code review comments to diffs and all that good stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's not only just Visual Studio 11 that happened this week in terms of announcements. There's a bunch of other stuff. And one of the key ones is SkyDrive. Mm. So do you want to show the graphic?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah, okay. So this is from the B8 blog. And it was a dedicated post to connecting your apps all using SkyDrive. And probably one of the coolest things here and why I wanted to show this is you see that SkyDrive is actually added on as a folder there on the favorite in File Explorer. So what that means is you now have a lot of integration. What everybody really wanted was Windows Explorer integration. And there are limitations in terms of the size. I think it's like 2 gigs for a single file in terms of that.
Oh, that's a lot more than it used to be. It used to be 50 megs or 100 megs.
It used to be you couldn't put up a single file that was more than 50 megs.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah, so there's
so it's kind of like Mesh in that regards.
And the other thing they talked about, and again, use the post, but they talked at least a little bit about the combination of SkyDrive and Mesh in terms of the remote access. I don't want to speak for them, so read the blog for the exact details there. Hmm. But I think this is going to be super cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And really makes SkyDrive, just because people are so used to using File Explorer for copying files.
Right, and with the SkyDrive APIs that are available now, and they have apps for, what, iPhone and of course, Windows Phone.
Yeah, so the other thing they announced, too, is for pay, and the costs are typically 4 year, where you can actually get a larger amount of storage as well.
Here's my credit card. That's awesome. That's really, really good.
So I think it's very cool, and of course, Windows 8 integration as well.
Sweet. Hotness. Love it. So this is guidance that Microsoft released all about touch, so all about thinking how you use touch gestures within Windows 8, and you know, you saw some of this guidance come out at the Build conference, like oftentimes in this kind of new paradigm of touch devices and everything, developers sometimes go a little bit crazy with their touch gestures, like, you know, just do a 3-finger swipe and then a checkbox and a swirl, and then you do like the Star Trek thing across the device, and that'll
be with
a
your
file
hand.
Save. That'd be a really funny video to do. But this is guidance that's meant to kind of sanitize that so that people are not jumping from one app where they have to do one crazy set of gestures to another to do a completely different paradigm. So it's nice to see this guidance coming out to kind of, you know, set some standards around that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, the other cool thing is a friend of the show, John Galloway, talks about ASP.NET MVC4 beta. And, you know, there's a number of enhancements here in terms of Razor syntax and so on. But really the big thing is the ASP.NET Web API. So the idea. And, you know, I have to say, this is for what we called our Project Detroit. This is the key scenario where we needed simple REST services to exchange information between, it was, you know, one laptop mm-hmm. that's hosting ASP.NET and MVC mm-hmm. and a number of other devices. Maybe that's a phone, maybe that's another laptop, and so on. We needed a REST API, and it just seemed overkill to do WCF web services for what we were looking to do.
Right.
So we did ASP.NET and MVC, just because it was so easy to do in terms of the filters and the kind of data that we're getting back and sending that data. And all of that is in their new ASP.NET web API. It's really just designed to enable that stuff and be smart about like things like return type. So, hey, this return type should be an ICAL. So, therefore, make sure like we're sending the appropriate content header so it your application knows and it gives you the pop-up, hey, do you want to open this? If you do open, of course, then it would open, say, in Outlook.
So backing up, you mentioned Project Detroit, just for people that don't know.
Yes. That is the project that we're working with West Coast Customs that I think the show is March 18th now.
Oh, nice.
And we'll be talking about that a little bit more.
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Soon. But again, there was communicating back and forth. So I think this is super exciting. It is, of course, a beta. Mm-hmm. So people should know that, but it's definitely cool.
That's great. And do we happen to know, do they mention Go Live, whether or not you can do Go Live with that beta?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't remember seeing it. So.
Okay, sounds good. So that brings us to Picks of the
Week.
So my Pick of the Week, this looks a little self-serving, I know, because it's about a presentation that I gave. But really, my focus here is on the technology, which I love. And that is a presentation I gave around Microsoft Test Manager 11 and Lab Management 11. So as you know, Dan, Microsoft Test Manager that we shipped in 2010 is a tool for manual testers. And we really, in that release, embraced formal test case management. So I start with my requirements, and I go down to my test cases, and I run my tests against each build, and I report against that, which is great. However, there's another approach which can find bugs as well, which is exploratory testing. Let me just use my creativity as a tester to get in there and do things that I think a user might view if they're malicious or
don't know
what they're doing and trying to break stuff, whatever. And so what we've done then is we've blended those approaches so that I can still use the great set of Microsoft Test Management tools to track all of those exploratory testing runs. And then what's great about that is if I find a bug, I can then easily recreate a test case from that. So that then becomes part of my formal test plan moving forward.
It's just better integration, really,
exactly.
In terms of the whole testing workflow.
Yeah, testing workflow, both approaches really married in one tool. And so I think that's something people would be interested in. And if you're a software developer and you're like, oh, it's manual testing, who cares? The reason you would be interested in this is that it collects rich bugs for you about your code. So you're not just getting this one-line description of, hey, you know, your stuff doesn't work, but you're getting a video recording, an audio annotation, an IntelliTrace file, all that stuff that can help you diagnose it. And then the other thing, which is a big part of that talk, is lab management. So mm-hmm. lab management in 2010 allows you to set up this really nice build, deploy, test workflow with virtual environments. The problem is that the requirements for setting up that infrastructure, it requires
Hyper-V and
all
that other
Windows
stuff.
Server
just really
2008,
hard. Sounds
Hyper-V,
cool,
System
but...
Center Virtual Machine Manager, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
It's not for your mere mortals. Once you get it set up, it's awesome. But in 11, with Lab Management 11 and TFS 11, what we do is we allow you to point it to any arbitrary machine that's out there. So I've got this, you know, I do all my development on Windows 8. I need to make sure my code runs on Windows Server. I've got this VM that's running on VirtualBox or a physical machine. Let me just point at that server. We go out and do all the heavy lifting to configure that as part of your environment. And then you set up a build, deploy, test workflow that says, take my code, deploy it over there, run on my unit test, my coded UI test, and just tell me if it works. You know, so it's really, really nice workflow.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So my pick of the week is actually, you know, going back to Visual Studio 11, but it's Quick Launch. So you can think of Quick Launch as the way to either find or discover features. So, you know, the classic ones are, you know, I'm in debugging, and I always need the immediate window. Mm. So when you F5 normally, immediate window isn't available. And I'm like, oh, man, where do I go under? So I'm, like, under debug.
Right.
And maybe it's, like, not under debug. I think it's under, like, then I go to, like, Windows, not under Windows. It's actually under View. Or no, maybe I go to View first, but it's actually under Debug, View.
Right. Or I don't know how to turn on IntelliTrace and access all the options. Like, Tools Options is this, you know, forest of sure. stuff. Well, now you can just go to Quick Launch and just type it in, and it comes right back up with a list of things that you may care about.
Yeah, release configuration. Like, you just type it in, and it'll find right. the command exists there, or, you know, you're in another product. Like, a classic one is the C# Express profile by default hides things like clean solution. But it ships with it, right? So people are like, oh, you guys need to add it. It's like, yeah, go into tools options yeah. and drag the button in.
Yeah.
But you just type clean solution from there, and there you go.
Or pizza, and it gives you a list of all your local places. That's another add-in we need to write.
Apparently. Yeah. Apparently. So that is our show for this week.
That's right. So look for the beta dropping Tuesday of next week. Is that the 29th? And then Windows 8 plus Visual Studio 11, better together. Have fun, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks.